This is Jackie.
And this is Heather.
And welcome to
Millennial Mom Chatter, your go-to podcast for candid conversations and fresh perspectives.
We're just two millennial moms navigating life one hilarious audio message at a time. Join us for laughs, adventures, real talk.
Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of Millennial Mom Chatter. We are excited to be back. We are a little one day late. It's fine.
It's fine. No one notices that stuff.
No. So we are happy to have you this week. We have been pretty busy, but we got good news. Jackie's hubby's coming back home.
Whoop, whoop. No longer have to single parent. Just a couple more weeks, but we're on the downhill. Light is at the end of the tunnel. We have a date. You know, it's a guesstimate, but that doesn't matter. Like, that's still something we can look forward to. So we're very excited.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited. Are you ready?
80% ready. Mentally, yeah. Emotionally, I'm ready. But there's just lots of, like, logistics and stuff. So little things that I'm trying to, like, sort out. All the things, you know. Getting my hair done, you know, making sure the house is all neat and tidy. The cars are squared away. The boys are squared away. So I got my little checklist. We're working on it. So things will come into place.
He comes back and you're like, I promise I did everything. Look. Yeah.
The whole time you were gone.
I know. I didn't realize until, like, obviously I got to know Jackie that, like, there's just a whole, like, reintegration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's – people don't get that.
No, it's just different because it's – you get so used to your routine as a single person that then all of a sudden this person just kind of, like, flops back into your life. And it's great because obviously you love them and you're happy that they're home and safe. But at the same time, you've gotten so used to this kind of routine. And then they're also in a different routine too because obviously they're on the different side of the planet. So they've got jet lag, their own schedules that they've been on with, like, the intensity and everything. And then they also are coming back and getting time off of work. So it's, like, different. Like, it's not a vacation. Like, it just feels weird because you're both, like, navigating, like, wait, whoa, what? Whoa. I'm going to go over here. Where are you going? What are we doing? Oh, you're eating dinner. You're hungry. Like, what do you want to do? Like, so it's
like, I could see how you, and it's neither one's fault. It's just, like, a natural motion that I would imagine you haven't have where it's like, you've been gone this whole time, right? So it feels like you're going to come home and you're going to help me, right? Like, that's what you think. But then, like, they have been, like, working constantly. And so they just want to, like, be in their home and just relax because they haven't been in their home or relaxed fully. And so they just want to relax. And so it's nothing to knock them. But then inside, you know that, like, oh, they've done all this stuff and you want them to relax. But then in your mind, you're like, you can't just help me?
Yeah. Can you get up, please? Like, are you just going to nap all day?
Are you just going to sleep all day? Or and they don't even get that much time off. So, like, they really only have, like, a couple of days or a week to do this. And so I can imagine the emotions are so just wild.
Like, yes. It's kind of just all over the place, honestly.
Yeah, like, you feel one way, but then you know you should feel another way. And so it just probably feels so confusing. And, like, I've asked you this before. Like, it must feel like – obviously, you guys have been married for 12 years. Like, obviously, you're comfortable with each other. But I imagine it just feels, like, almost odd at first. Yeah. Like, to, like, I don't know, have somebody there.
Yeah, it's almost like you get the butterflies back.
Like, newly dating.
Yeah, it is like newly dating where it's like, oh, okay. Oh, you're so cute. Like, I haven't seen you in a long time. Yeah. Like, do you think I look cute? Like, am I still cute to you? Like, so I just feel like you get back into that where it's like you fall in love with that person almost all over again. Like, you're dating again. So it's kind of cute.
So do you see – I don't think I've asked you this question before. Do you see, like – obviously, deployments are hard, right? But do you feel like it ends up making you stronger at the end? Like, it does benefit, or do you think it, like, harms?
It depends on the couple, but I think in most instances, this can actually better a relationship. It's going to make your foundation stronger because you're having to overcome an obstacle. Like, being away from your loved one is really hard. Like, you miss them, you're alone. It's not like you can go out. Like, you're not going to want to have an affair. Like, you want to be loyal to this person. So it's like you really are just, like, in by yourself, really having to focus on that person, and they're far away from you. You can't do anything about it. You're dealing with hardships by yourself. So I find that, like, navigating all of that, it makes you better in the end, because then you can come home and just, like, really get back to, like, where you were at and just focus on you as a couple. So I don't know. I feel like it can make us strong. I mean, I feel like in the past we've done two and I feel like we came back stronger than ever from those.
Yeah.
So I feel like it just depends on the couple.
I mean, considering how long he's been in, like, it's impressive. Like, that's awesome that you've had to only do two, you know, like, because that's just, it's hard. It's hard. Yeah. Like, you can look at the, you know, the benefits of like, oh, it made us stronger. And I think it's kind of cool that like you said, if you're the right couple during this time, it's almost like a break in a sense where like now you come back and you're like, I missed you. Like, I need you. Like, I want you in my life. Yeah. Like, I like, because, you know, people, that's kind of how a lot of couples, like if they do break up, they are like, they almost do a break period to see, like, to get stronger and then come back together.
Yeah, because so kind of like you had until it's gone, right?
So like you're almost like forced to do this.
Yeah. So this will be our when he gets home, this will be the third one, and so we're hoping that's it, that he'll be done with deployments, and so hopefully then we won't have to do
such. How often are deployments?
It depends on your job. So we're in the pilot community, and a lot of pilots, they do deploy, but theirs are only like 3 months long. So some don't have to go as long, but then maybe they go more frequently. So like maybe once every 2 years or something. So it just kind of depends on your job. And then obviously like each branch has their length of deployments, you know, so you could talk to anyone and they could tell you, oh, I was gone for a year. Oh, I was gone for 3 months. Like there's just a lot of different factors that could come into play for what a deployment might look like for somebody.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been fortunate that with his job in his career field, they do deploy and they do go places and do things. But for some reason, we've been just as fortunate that, like, I think COVID had a lot to do with that as well. Cause a lot of
COVID,
didn't get deployed during COVID. Yeah. So that took away one. Like,
yeah. And you were in Australia, so they can't fully deploy.
Well, he did.
Australia. But wasn't it a little bit?
No, he deployed with the Australian Air Force. So he went for 6 months with their Air Force. Oh. So
it was just a Miami one
that he couldn't deploy. So from Miami, he couldn't because that was like a certain assignment where he was an instructor, and that you're not going to take instructors. You're not going to take instructors and students to go deploy. So since he wasn't attached to an actual squadron, he wouldn't leave to go anywhere. So then when we were in Virginia, that's when COVID happened. So a lot of troops were non-deployable, but they just weren't doing that kind of stuff at the time. And so then everywhere else that we've been stationed has been attached to a proper squadron. So then he's deployed. Yeah. So that's like, I guess
so.
The best
COVID in Miami saved you for a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. We had a little bit of a break. So it was good.
That's good. Yeah. I forgot that you had said, I thought for some reason he had done like a month or something like that in Australia, but that he couldn't physically be deployed because isn't it something like that though? That like if you're overseas, you don't get deployed. Is that a thing?
No.
I feel like it's not?
No, you can still get deployed.
I thought if you're living overseas, they consider you like you kind of are deployed in a sense. Like you are.
It just depends on where you are. So like Germany, for instance, is an actual like big base. So you'll deploy. Like you are going to support missions just in a different location. So it just depends on where you're at. So Australia, because that was an exchange assignment, he deployed with the Australian Air Force. Mm-hmm. So he was a U.S. representative with the Australian Air Force. So it's different. It still counted as a deployment. So a lot of the U.S. people that were with him, like that was still very like normal. It was very just same as what they would do with the U.S. Air Force, but with the Australian Air Force.
Yeah.
So they were just emailing different people. Like,
yeah. So if you got Germany, would he have a chance of being deployed again?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And it just depends on his job. I can't predict that because I don't know where he would be stationed as far as like if it's an active squadron with like jets and stuff. But there is a chance he could deploy again. And that's just something that I'm willing to take it. If we can get stationed in Europe, like that's like how I am too. I think being a military brat, having joined the military myself, my dad being gone frequently, myself, I deployed, and then marrying into the military, I kind of come into this like knowing. So I'm not shocked by it.
No,
so like, of course it's miserable. Like I don't want my husband to leave. I don't want him to leave us. I know the boys are sad. Like I don't like being alone. I want to have a partner to cuddle up on the couch with. But at the same time, it's like, if we can get a cool assignment out of it, that's fine. I can take that sacrifice. Like
I know. I always tell Jackie, I'm like, I really hope you get what you want, but don't leave me.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's like, it's definitely going to like, obviously we're still going to remain friends, but
of course
the time difference and like, we can't do the mini trips. Like just, it would not happen. So
I know we'd have to have if we got stationed in Europe, we'd have to have a big European girls trip for sure. You have to take advantage of that location.
Yeah. I just don't see us seeing each other more than like probably twice, if that. So
no,
it's like
the frequency in which you and I have been seeing each other. Yeah. Like, because we've been doing really good. For those of you who aren't familiar with Heather and I's background, we basically are a long distance friendship, but we've been so good at putting in the work to like maintain that and like visiting each other and like planning trips, like whatever we can kind of do to like not let it die out and fizzle out. So
I think the thing that when I say worry me, not literally, like I stay up all night thinking about it, but I feel like it's going to be so hard for our kids, in the sense that when I say hard for our kids is that because of the time difference, they're either going to be in school or in one of them in bed. And so like, I feel like unless it's maybe the weekend, they'll never be able to like communicate or like play with each other like they do now. And so that makes me sad, but it's okay. Like,
no, that is a valid concern, because like you and I are adults. Like we can be like, hey, like I know it's really late at night for you, but I just wanted to like touch base with you real quick.
Yeah. Whereas, we can chat at 10 p.m. tonight.
Yeah. Whereas the kids have bedtimes because they have school. So that is challenging. So because we've been really spoiled being on the same time zone with you guys right now. Because they come home from school at the same time. Yeah. If they're done with homework, they can hop on and play Minecraft together. So it's like, it's going to be sad if we end up like leaving the time zone.
I just would want them to like remain close. So I guess my like I said, it's not like legit a fear. Like, oh my gosh, I stay up all night thinking about this. But I'm like, I would fear that they would like lose their like – what's they're called? Like the rhythm we're in right now. Yeah, like their relationship, I guess. Like
it's so easy right now. It's so – they literally can just like, hey, I want to hop on the iPad and see them. And they know that they're eventually going to see each other again. So I feel like it's very easy right now.
I know. And we're like spending holidays together in summers and like spring breaks and like little weekends. And so it like keeps it easy of like where they're like remain best friends. We're like, if we're not only seeing each other like maybe once a year, if that, or – and they're not like able to talk to each other, I'm like, are they going to – like right now at the place we're in, we're all comfortable with each other. Like our kids, our spouses, like us, like we are comfortable living in the same space. So I'm like, would that change? I don't know.
Yeah. And it could naturally, just because they're going to get older and they could be like, oh, I'm shy now. Like, I don't really know them. Like if they haven't seen them, like if we
haven't seen them or talked to them much.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to like basically force them.
Yeah, no, they will. And we're so fortunate too, that they don't have to be like snail mail pen pals. Like they can do that, but they also still can pick up the phone so that they don't like, oh, like I'm older now and I'm like nervous to see them, or I'm like shy now. And it's like, no, like you guys could still see each other's faces. Like, on you know, a mobile device. So it's great.
Yeah.
Like
we'll
navigate
for that.
So luckily we have still a good chunk of time here in the US. So hopefully we don't have to be worried about that. Like for a while.
We'll see.
We're not going anywhere.
Maybe my voodoo will work. Okay.
Another episode of spooky.
Jackie, I've been doing some sacrifices so that you could stay in the US.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't tell you that though.
No, even if I did. You're just like, oh, that's so weird. That's so weird that you guys didn't get it.
Like I don't like know why.
Yeah, that's so weird.
You guys are such candidates.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay. But did you hear about this girl, an 8-year-old girl who drove to Target by herself this weekend?
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to talk about Mormons and then wait, but now I'm intrigued.
Oh, no, we can.
Story.
Okay, give me just a second. Okay, so literally, this 8-year-old girl, so close to our kids' age, right? So just imagine our kids. She literally, it was Sunday morning. The parents were like, wait, where did she go? And they were like, wait, like, where is our daughter? Like, where is she? And so then they called the police because they're like, we can't find our daughter. Like, she literally walked out the door. We don't know where she is. She got in her mom's car and drove 24 minutes. Target. Yes. She made it safely to 24 minutes. That's how long she drove. So they put in like a missing report. So then it popped up on the other like police officers, like what is it? Like their walkie-talkie thing. So they heard it. They're like, oh, missing child, like driving a car. Like, and so then someone got like on a dash cam. They show her like just driving through an intersection. And you know, the only damage she caused, she only hit one mailbox. On her 24-minute drive to Target.
Wait, okay.
Mailbox.
Okay, so it's 24-minute drive, but, like, that's how long she took. But, like, like how many miles away was it? Like, is she driving really slow?
I don't know how many miles. I think it was only like 10 miles. It was like close. So that what they did say was they mapped it. Like they looked on the GPS to see what route she took because they were like, how did she do this? And they mm-hmm. were like, no, she actually like did a good job because they found there's only like two ways for her to get from her house to Target. And they found the way she took and they were like, wow, she literally made it safely. Only nailing one mailbox, 24 minutes straight to Target. And it was
probably like in the beginning or something.
Yeah, it was like somewhere in the neighborhood probably. Yeah. And so then she parked the car at Target. She went inside and just started buying a bunch of stuff. She bought a Frappuccino.
Wait, how did she park?
I don't know. I wish they would have – they actually tried to keep like her identity private. So they didn't show her and like they only showed the dash cam footage of the car driving by like and they were following her. So they didn't show her parked. Like they didn't show us the car. I wanted to see the lines.
Was she like –
Hi. Yeah, like, and that's what, oh, that's what they said. So the cop who was like on the mic, he basically was like, oh, this is like someone really small can barely see over the steering wheel. This must be the child that's missing. He was like, maybe that's her because I just heard it on like the little, you know, when they are like missing child, like, and so he's like, that's probably the girl that just drove past me in this intersection heading to Target. And so it was really cute though, because at the end she had a Frappuccino and the police let her finish her Frappuccino before they took her out of Target. Like, it's so cute. I was like, that is, and they're like, we're not, and they literally like left a statement like on Twitter or something. And they're like, we're not mean. Like, we let her finish her Starbucks Frappuccino. And I was like, I actually love that. Like, they didn't ruin her day. Like,
did she steal money and like, or a card?
I don't think she ended up making any purchases because they were like, she got a Frappuccino,
didn't she?
Oh, yeah. So she did. How did she buy that? I don't know. They didn't release a lot of details. I need more. Like, I want to know.
Oh, my gosh.
That she went in with like an iPhone and she like scanned it. I don't, she probably had cash.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cute. But at the same time, like, you know that, like, I can just picture the type of mom she has. That is probably the typical Target mom that like gets her Starbucks every day because like
for her to know that, to know what that she likes and wants to order.
Well, and like that she did all of this just to get a Frappuccino. Like, so she, it's like in her routine probably.
Yeah.
And so like my kids would, even if they stole my car, they would never go to Starbucks. Like, no, they wouldn't know that either. No. That wouldn't even be on my kids' radar. So like,
no, I think my boys would go straight back to the toy section and they'd be like, what Switch games are out or what like, you know, new Lego set is available.
Yeah.
That's where they would be found. Like,
yeah. And so I think that I can just picture the type of like mom she has that it's like, it's the typical girls we see on like reels and TikToks where it's like, you know, the mom that goes to Target to shop every day and gets her Starbucks and like has her SUV and you know what I mean? Yeah. Has the lip balm hanging from her keys. Like that's probably the mom.
Yeah. So they did keep their identities like hidden, you know, because they didn't want to, they knew there was going to be negative backlash on that. Like, you know, what kind of parents let their kid like literally walk out the door and drive a car? Like, how could you not see her? So they were like, but it was all in a matter of minutes. So it's not like she was missing for hours. Like, she literally had just walked out the door. I think they said like 7 a.m. And then within that 1 hour, the police officers were already like on the hunt. Like, she was already like a missing child. So it's not like this really like super bizarre situation. I'm like, an 8-year-old knows how to open a door. Like, that is realistic to think a kid could just, like, literally walk outside. I mean, the thought of, like, driving a car, like, I'm pretty impressed, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if my kids knew how to drive a car.
My kids would not make it, like, I don't think out of the driveway.
No, I think they'd be crashing through the garage door. Like, I think I would just probably see it on the Ring camera, and it would be them, like, accidentally hitting the accelerator and flying into the house or something.
Yeah, like, I don't think my kids know to read the R and the D and the, like, and that I just don't, and that you have to press the brake to pull the, like, I just don't see it happening.
No,
even so my 11-year-old, kind of I don't car, see it.
I don't know. It was like a little SUV, so I don't know what she has, if hers are buttons or a dial.
It's probably a girl that is very, like, mature up here for her age.
Yeah.
And she watches every little detail. She probably had this plan and was like, next time my mom drives, I'm going to look exactly what she
like her does. Mom, she might have like the dial in the middle and she probably was like, oh, every time my mom does this, she just turns it like, bing, And then the car just starts going. So she probably was like, that's easy. I got this. Like,
I wanna,
but I just like, thought it was so hilarious.
I want to see this girl. Like, I want to see what she looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I wish that there was more information. Like, I get it. They're like protecting the privacy. I get it too. Yeah. And so obviously she wasn't criminally held responsible for anything. Like, she's a child. So they were like just happy that she was safe and she didn't cause any damages. So they were like, okay, well, we're going to take your Frappuccino and take you home. Like,
what do you do as a parent? You're like, kill him.
I'm like, okay, you're done. I don't know, because it's like what she did was very big, right? Like, she could have, we're laughing about this because obviously she was safe and she didn't
crash. Oh, she could have killed herself.
She could have killed somebody else. Like, so yeah. We're very like, we can giggle about this because we know that it's a happy outcome to the story. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, there do need to, like, I'm going to put some consequences in place because what you did was wildly irresponsible. At the same time that, like, you're a child and you're not supposed to do that stuff. Like, please don't ever walk out the door again. Because that's where it starts, right? Is she left the house. So it's like, you have to tell mommy and daddy where you are. Like, I love you.
Well,
I don't want anything bad to
happen.
She walk
out. She stole the car and money.
Yeah,
holy,
she had cash.
Holy. That's like, is it just a one-off thing that she's a little kid? Or is she going to be that kid for them? You know, like, is she going to be the teenager sneaking out? And
yeah. I mean, if it was that easy for her to do as an 8-year-old, imagine what she can do at 16. So I don't know.
This is for sure one of those moments that, like, we saw on TV growing up where you're like, you're grounded for life.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they just – honestly, in that position, if that happened to one of our kids, I would just be like, okay, we need to have, like, a major conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I'm so happy you're safe and, like, this did work out. Like, you got a Frappuccino and you came home safely because we love you and we always just want to make sure that you're okay. But at the end of the day, like, you can't ever do that again. Like, that could have ended way different for us as a family. So
I almost want, like, the police to scare her a little. You know?
I know.
Like,
I was kind of
like handcuffs on her. Like,
like a little scared straight. Like, take her to the jail and, like, put her in a cell, let her get yelled at by a bunch of inmates. Like, just something. Because I honestly would want that a little bit. Like, because they were obviously
just handcuffs.
Nice.
Just handcuff
and her, put her in the back of the car, and, like, be really stern with her. The fact that they, like, giggled and were like, they let her have her Frappuccino, I'm like, no, that's too nice. Make her throw the Frappuccino away. Like, this is a no-no. Like, you did a bad thing.
Yeah. Like, be kind to her, but, like, at the same time, like, scare her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if my kid was handcuffed, oh, my God. I think they would just break down.
Yeah. No, they would instantly cry. Like, my boys would literally just be a puddle. I would, too. I'd be like, I'm in trouble. But, like, they would just be a puddle on the ground. And I'd be like, yes. Now you'll never do that ever again. You stole a car.
Gosh.
Like, you stole my car. Essentially.
That's, like, wild. I don't even know what I would do. I really, like, it's one of those things that, like, you know, hearing this story, like, the fact that you know she's okay, you laugh at it. But if I'm the parent, I don't think I laugh at all. Like,
at all. No, they probably weren't laughing. No. And then you had to think how nervous you are, too. Like, for that short period of time in the beginning when they didn't know where she was. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't know until a little bit later, obviously, that it's like, oh, she's at Target. She's fine. We'll go get her for you. But, like, for that first, like, what, 30 minutes when they didn't identify her car yet, like
– You think you could be a Dateline story.
Yeah. You're like, something really bad has happened. Not, like, my daughter's enjoying her best life.
Her Frappuccino. And, oh, I before we go on Mormon Wives, speaking about Target – I went to Target yesterday, had to get something for my mom, and I go in and I was like, oh, we need, like, a little pick-me-up. So we got, like, a green tea. And as we're waiting for our green tea, I look out the window and there is – I'm going to drop it right here somewhere, a picture. There's this car. What's that, like, European car brand that's, like, so one-off? Like, it's like a – it's almost like a Fiat. Like, not the look, but it's like a brand. Yeah, something
I can't
Romero.
Think of it. I know what you're talking about because it's got a unique logo too.
Yeah, it's something
I don't
Romero.
Know.
Anyways, so I look out and it is covered in spray paint and it says, you cheated. And there's, like, FU written all over. I'm talking about, like, 100 times over it.
Wow.
And, like, it's like liar and big things. So hear this out. So I thought it was funny. Like, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, okay. So I told the Starbucks guy when he was handed to me, I was like, you want to see something funny? And he's like, what, the car? And I was like, oh, you saw it already. It looked like it just happened because when I looked out there – not just happened, but when I looked out there, there was a bunch of people around it. So I thought, like, oh, they're, like, they're just coming to find out. And he's like, yeah, that's my friend's car. It's just a joke. And I'm like, but he says it so serious. Like, he doesn't say, like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Like, he's not laughing. And so – I don't know if it's like his car and he doesn't want to admit it, or if it's really his friend's car and like you're just playing like it's a joke. Because who would want that?
No, that's not. Maybe he's trying to de-escalate it because he's embarrassed and he's like tired of it. Or like maybe if he is the cheater, he's like, why would I own up to that? And it's like, that's my friend's car. Like, it's fine.
Exactly. Like, so I don't know what, like, I really don't know. Like, it could be a joke, but I don't know what the full story is, because like they say if it's like, because apparently that is kind of a thing going around right now, but they say if it's, if it is that it's like chalky, like almost it'll crumble off. And this is like straight up, because we parked like two cars away. It was like straight up paint.
See, I would cry. And I was like, my car, you'd see me crying.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, who would do this? Like, no, I don't know. And it's a nice, like, you know, quote unquote nice car. I don't care for it. But like, why would he do that? I don't know. It just didn't.
It's a terrible
like, who
trip.
Would, who, well, yeah. And who would, like, why is it funny? Like, I would be mortified driving around in a car like that. Like, it's not funny to me. Like, I would
and
be
also,
like.
And also, as like an ex-girlfriend, I don't know if I would have done that. I don't know. It's just a lot of. Like spray painting anybody's car.
There
like,
are I don't definitely know. Girlfriends that would do that.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would. Like just knowing, I would never. Like that's – you're not only – like I want to obviously like get you back, right? If you cheated on me, like I'm like, petty. Like how can I get you back? But at the same time, like literally destroying your car with like real spray paint, I don't know. I don't know. That's a lot.
I think you have to be husband.
Yeah, okay. Tony, you're listening. Like, and he's a car guy too. I mean, your hubby is too. Like, they like nice. Like, so if we destroy their cars, I think they'd be like, we'd probably have, I don't know, police after us. Like, there'd be like, it'd be escalated.
You know what though, Alvaro, if he did something really bad, I think our husbands would be like, they would take it because they would know.
Oh, that's true. They would feel guilty.
Like, they would feel like,
they'd be
like
shameful.
If you did something really crazy, like you cheated on me or had a whole other family or like had kids with another woman I didn't know, like something crazy like that, and I'm married to you, I'm not saying I would do it, but like that definitely warrants that. Like
it does warrant it. But now like, I'm also thinking like the stuff you just said is like whole next level. I don't know if I'm spray painting your car. I'm probably looking for next level. Like burning
you're
down
like,
houses.
Like Dateline, I'm paying somebody to murder
like,
you.
I'm about to be like on some crime documentary. Like it's I'm not just spray painting your car. If you've got like a whole side family, like a side piece and a side family, like it's gone that far. Yeah, I'm not spray painting your car. Like it's like, not a $5 crime. Like we're going like big. I'm going bigger, going home.
Like, and like the first thing, and I know this is so terrible, but like say you do something to that extreme. The first thing I'm thinking of, and I don't even know if I'd follow through with this because I don't know if I'd want to do that to my kids. But the first thing I'd want to do is not pit my kids against him, but like not allow him to ever see them again.
Like you did this to yourself.
Yeah.
Do you like this?
Like my first thought is to literally pack my kids up and just leave, like on a long vacation, leave. Like where he doesn't know where we went, he doesn't see us, like none of it. Like that would be my first instinct.
I'm just laughing that we're like
sorry.
We're plotting it out on a podcast.
And I don't know if like long term, obviously I could keep that.
Of
but
course,
like,
yeah. I would do the same thing. I'd be like, I hope you guys are disappointed in your daddy right now. I hope he's embarrassed and shameful because
all day for weeks.
Yeah, like we're gonna go live our best life. Like we're about to go someplace. I don't know where yet, but we're going. Pack your bags.
We would probably go to each other's house, I would imagine. Yes. Yeah.
Like what trash food are we eating? What are we doing on his credit card?
And I think that our husbands would know that too.
No, they would. They would 100% just be like, babe, no. Like, wait.
No, like I 100% Tony would know to come to our house.
Oh, yeah. But he'd also be like super pitiful too.
Oh, yeah. I would be sitting there with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Jackie, you don't have to pay nobody. Yeah, no, our cousins would definitely be able to easily find us at each other's houses probably. Because that's like the best place you could go, right? Is because we don't even have, like, we not only have each other, but we have somebody for our kids.
Yes. It's not like, just me going to some random person's house where it's like, I mean, I'd have to be just crashing on their couch because it's not a good alternative for the kids.
Well, but our kids could play with each other and like,
it would be
like
a good distraction.
Very good and like a little bit of a normalcy.
Yeah.
So we probably would literally go to each other's house.
Yes.
But.
I would know that though. I always joke that if I ever go missing, you guys will pull up my phone records and it will just be like, okay, this person right here, this phone number, is the number one suspect. Or she is here, and it's going to be Heather's phone number. Look.
Yeah, because like, who we don't talk this? To our this husbands as much. This is the
only person she talks to.
Yeah, because we don't talk to our husbands as much. Like, yeah. When he's home, I don't talk to him on the phone. And then when he's at work, like, we're not talking that much. Like,
yeah, it's quick conversation. Their careers don't allow for, like, them sitting on – it's not going to be all day long text messages and phone calls. Like, so they're not going to see anybody but her phone number in my phone log.
Like, 4 hours.
Is she having an affair? Because this phone number.
I know, we're going to be pitted as lovers.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Too much. It's fine.
Well, speaking of lovers, I did promise you guys a conclusion.
A Mormon wife update.
Yeah. The Real Housewives. Okay. Or whatever it's called. I don't even know. Mom
Secret
talk.
Secret lives.
Secret lives. The not so secret lives of Mormon wives. So I finished it and it was one of those things where I couldn't look away. And now I have a different opinion compared to where I was last week with like the halfway point.
Okay, good.
I don't support them, but I feel bad for them. We have a lot of bad stuff here. So I don't know if this has anything to do with the traditional values of like the Mormon upbringing, but some of the hubbies are very, very controlling. So you get to kind of see that play out. And a lot of it was like really toxic. And one of the girls, one of the wives, it's very unhealthy. It's not a healthy relationship.
Do you visually see it?
So it's not a physically abusive relationship. It's an emotionally abusive relationship.
Yeah, but do you see them? Yeah,
you see it. Okay. And you get to see her kind of like, okay, like I'm going to take myself out of this situation and like not be a part of it. And then he like, you get to see the text messages he sends her. You get to see his behavior because it's all played out on the screen. And I'm like, do you guys not realize we see you? Like, so I'm like, he has to be mortified right now because he's not – I'm so grateful that you and I have partners that are not like these men. Like, I kind of forget that, like, we have really healthy partners. Yeah. And for anyone who's in a relationship similar to – her name's Jen. And I just feel like Jen's character on this show, you want to, like, go and hug her and, like, save her because her husband is awful. Like, and I don't know if it's because they're young or if it's something to do with, like I said, their Mormon upbringing where he thinks that this is the way that a wife should be. But it's like, it makes you feel bad. Like you just want to like scoop her up and be like, no girl, like go find yourself a healthy husband. And her friends try to tell her that too. So even they're still together. Recognize it. Yeah. Like she even was like, she went away and like went and chatted with him and stuff and like came back and was like, oh no, we're better now. He understands that he can't be that controlling and he needs to let me live. And I'm just like, he's still doing the same thing. Like nothing changed. But the friends know that too. They recognize it.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to continue to like tell her like, hey, babe, it's okay. Like, but it's not. It's never okay.
Like, is he older, same age as her? Like what's
I wish I knew actually. I feel like he was a little bit older than her. He's not one of the oldest husbands. One of the girls does have like an older, more established husband. And he's pretty level-headed. Then there's another couple on there. They're like similar in age and they're level-headed as far as like trusting each other and having their own lives. But he is currently in med school to become a doctor. So she feels like she has to kind of like hold down the fort to support him while he's in med school. And that's the standard he set for her, where it's like, you have to take care of everything until I can graduate from med school. I don't remember how old he is, but he's young. Like he's not like a 50-year-old guy a 20-year-old. So they're close enough in age where like their standards are going to be similar as far as like, it's not like this is his second wife or something where he has, you know, a set expectation. So I just feel really bad because she's not going to get out of it. And her friends like addressed it with her. Like,
yeah. And the problem is like, if you're okay with like, say, you know, well, maybe they don't even know they don't have a healthy relationship. Who knows? But like, if you're willing to show your relationship on TV and everyone around you says it's bad, like you probably are so clueless yourself, like because you're willing to show it, right? Like you're willing, like you are in like a little bubble that you just don't realize like what the actual situation is.
No, and she didn't know when her girlfriend sat down to like address it with her. She almost seemed really oblivious to it. And then she felt attacked. And I'm like, yeah. I get that. Like, if you don't know, and then you're like, wait, why do all my friends hate my husband? Like, you take it personally. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, no, they're actually trying to, like, help you identify that this is not normal. Like, what you're experiencing is not a healthy relationship. And I was just like, ooh, that's really awkward.
So is this one of the girls that, like, I'm assuming based on how you describe him, he is not one of the people that they, like, swing?
No.
Okay.
No. It's interesting, though, because I'm trying to remember. Some of them are on, like, Tinder and stuff like that, though. They, like, go and – not all of them, but, like, that's why you have to watch it, because I just feel like there's so many, like, side plots.
Should I watch it, though? Okay,
you so should. It's not, like, a good show, right? You're not going to come out of this and be like, that's my favorite show.
No, but you still, like, watch it and you're like, I would watch it again.
I think because I just learned so much from it, because it's just so different. Like, you go into it thinking, like, oh, okay, like, I kind of have an idea of, like, the LDS community or whatever, like, their standards and, like, okay, no caffeine, no alcohol. Like, I'm going to be loyal to my husband, you know, all of this. But they just do so much different stuff that I think
I was gonna
really
say,
like.
And I think it's just a bad also, is it a legit representation? Or are these just hurt people that were raised in poor homes and, like.
I don't know, because their parents are kind of, like. Some of them who've had their parents come to visit when it's like, hey, my mom's coming over for the baby shower or something. Like, so you get to hear their opinions too. They almost seem like normal. So then I was just like, wait, what?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are these woe me girls? Are these girls that have created this situation and, like, they just feed off of each other's situation and create, like, a, you know, a terrible life and, like, values and whatever?
Yes. Yeah.
Or, like we spoke about last week, I'm sure the Mormon church and people that are real Mormons are, like flabbergasted by this and, like, very upset by it, I would assume.
Yeah. I think they definitely created themselves. Like, they invited some of these challenges that you see into their lives themselves. Like, they did this. So it's like, I hate to pin that on them, but they, you know, all of the controversy, like swinging or, you know, anyone who stepped out of their relationship or, you know, even the controlling husband, like, he gambles. So then it's just like they did this to themselves. Like, you can't blame anybody but yourself in situations like that. And then it's funny too, because one of the main characters or the girls, her name is Whitney. I didn't even realize, I don't know if you've seen this video, but a little while ago, her baby at the time had RSV and he was hospitalized. And she had done, like, one of those
the dancing.
TikTok dance.
I've seen that.
I didn't know that was her because that was years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So that's her. And she's, like, the biggest villain out of all of them. But she's so, like, she has no idea that she's toxic. Like, she has no idea that she sucks and everyone hates her. And so, of course, she gets on there and she's, like, really upset. And she's like, why did everyone give me such a hard time for, like, my dancing video? And people were like, because you were your baby was sick. Like, your baby was hospitalized. And she was like, I'm dancing because his tests came back that he was, like, progressing and getting better. And it's just like, that was awful. So now I actually noticed it on TikTok. Everyone's mocking her by doing dances, like, with, like, sick people behind them. And I'm just like, ugh. Like, I had, because I saw that when it was like people were giving her, like, shame for it, but I didn't even connect that was, like, her. Like, and I was just like, oh, like, this
so
matches.
Just straight
she's
up-
just continuously done toxic, bad, like, gross stuff.
Yeah.
Through all
and,
these years.
And it has nothing to do, like, all of these, like, behaviors that you're saying, it's like, it has nothing to do that it's stemming from, like, their church and how they were raised, you know?
No,
like no one tells you to do that, you know? So I almost feel bad that I understand that, like, some things they say they don't do, which you say they end up doing a bunch of other things anyways. It's almost like more, I guess, I'm sure annoying for the church that they even have it in the title, like almost like the emphasis that these girls are trash are because they're Mormon. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's why. Exactly. Because if they just said, like, normal girls of a city, like, if that was the title, everyone would be like, oh, okay, that's fine. Let them go do all these things. Like, I don't care. But the fact that it's literally Mormon, like, we have this image in our mind of just really perfection and, like, nice and clean and, like, pure. And the fact that it's, like, the opposite is why it's so, like, I need to watch this.
I need
to see what's going on.
I need a documentary of what the church is doing in this case. Like, did the church kick them out? Like, what's their – have they made a statement? We need to look this up. I haven't looked it up. Have they made a statement?
Some of them – one of the girls, they're all really active on social media. So I've been kind of seeing stuff as it's, like, coming out. Like, people are talking about it and, like, reposting it. One of the girls, she still goes to church. Like, she's still very
normal girls.
She is one of the more normal ones, but she still participates in all the activities. So, like, they all are still doing kind of like their own version of.
But she's not like one of the swingers openly and all this kind of stuff.
Okay. So, they're like in a more stable relationship. So, I think there wasn't like a lot of drama specifically with this girl, but, you know, she still is very active in her community. And I'm just like, okay, that's kind of like cool to get that perspective that, like, you've not been shunned.
Yeah, because the church – yeah, the church can't – I don't know how much they could shame her for, like, who she hangs out with if she's not participating in, like, you know, quote-unquote, like, really, like, worldly things like swinging and whatever else. Like, how could they do that? I mean, I guess they could, but, like, I don't know. They would probably look be frowned upon, you know? But, like, what about all the swingers and the ones that are, like – openly doing all this stuff, like, are they still actively a part of the church? Like, they're allowed to attend?
I'd be curious to know, because they don't really talk about that. They kind of, although the show is clearly about Mormon women, they don't really show
they
them,
don't really like, talk about the Mormon stuff.
They're not at all like following them to church. Like, they didn't you know, they kind of just focused on their personal lives, and you didn't really get any of that. So unless I think we kind of dove deep into their social medias, we probably wouldn't. No. And everyone's asking for a second season. So I don't know what that would look like. Like, if the same girls would come back, or if they would just feel embarrassed from what they just shared with us.
What is there to be embarrassed about now? They put it all out there, right?
No, it is already all out there. So all they can do is, there's nowhere but up.
Like, you open Pandora's box. So like, it is what it is. I know. I might have to watch it when I run out of a show. Right now I'm watching, which is a little... It's a little off topic. It's a little more aggressive. But then the Menendez Brothers thing that came out.
What is that on? Oh, on Netflix.
Netflix. Yeah. It's like a drama series. Like, you know the Menendez Brothers, right?
I don't think I've seen that.
No. And like, I think it was 89. They were two brothers that murdered their parents. And for money.
Okay. So they wanted to go to Target and get some Frappuccinos.
Yeah. They're like really talked about. There's a lot of like... documentaries about them and whatever, but they did like a dramatized series.
Oh, nice. Okay. I always love a good dramatization if it's good. So this one's not bad. Is it a good dramatization?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Okay. I'll have to check it out.
One brother's like very, like he got talked into it and is very like regretful and like it's like eating him alive. And one brother's just like a narcissist and like doesn't even care.
Okay.
So that's good. I think it's like four episodes or something. We haven't finished it yet.
Oh, okay. So it's a mini series, like a
– Yeah.
Okay.
It's like that's a limited not bad. Series. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
We watch that. Whenever I run out of shows, though, then I'll like – that's when I like put on like – when I know something's like real trash, like, okay, now I'll sit down. There's literally nothing else for me to watch, so just go put it
on. This one's good, though, because it's not – I feel like there's a lot of trash. Like Love Island, right? Like we didn't like Love Island. Like Love Island is not even like a – I didn't even enjoy that to like fold laundry. Yeah. Whereas this show, I feel like this is one you could literally have on the background, run the dishwasher, grab the laundry, like – and it's going to be like playing and you'll just catch like the major points of like, oh, wow, like I didn't know that. That is toxic.
Yeah.
Like how bizarre. How do they get away with that? And it's just enough that it's like, okay, I can put the next episode on.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, because then you'll just see what everyone's talking about. Because I literally was just like, what? Like everything was just like mind blown because I didn't pay attention to any of this. Like I was just kind of like living in my own little world. And
me too.
Got slapped in the face with girls. All the Mormon things.
I've seen the main girl like
Taylor. Taylor's the main one.
Yeah, I've seen her like in a video, like, you know, whatever, like scrolling through reels or something, but I don't follow her. I don't even know her name.
Yep.
But that's the only one. The other ones, I'm like, were they anybody? I don't know.
No, I didn't recognize them until watching the show. And I was just like, oh, there they all are.
Yeah.
There's their dances. This is how they got famous. Like, so it's just very different, very bizarre.
I'll give it a try. I'm like in the little like rut of like none of like my shows aren't coming back. Like
this I know it's a weird season right now. Yeah. Like, I don't think stuff usually comes back until like proper fall. I feel like is when we get all of our shows, like the good stuff comes back. So
I'm waiting.
Just around the corner. Yeah.
Fall is always a good time for TV. And then next year, like, you know, new year always is like new things. So
yes. Yeah. Like all the new shows. Yes. We're here for that. That's going to be a good one for the spring.
Jackie and I are going to start doing ASMR. We're going to start doing that.
Yeah, because the mic sounds so nice and crispy.
It sounds so nice. Yes. We're gonna do sleep ones. We're gonna be like, just breathe in. One, two, so everyone can go to sleep. It always sounds like I don't care for my voice or like it, but whenever you whisper like that, it always just sounds so nice.
No, for some reason, I think it's because of the like the technology with a good mic. It just comes through so crystal clear, and so it's just going to sound like, I don't know, I think people would enjoy it.
I know. We have to – we – I don't know if we talked about this before, but we used to be like so like to our voice. Yeah. But it's like literally being put into our ears right now. Yeah. When we like edit these, we have to listen to it. When we do like reels or TikToks, we have to listen to it. And so we just hear our voice all the time. And so now like I don't love my voice, but like by all means, like I don't even cringe by anymore.
No, it doesn't. It's not nearly as annoying when we would have to go back for like quality control to like make sure the episode uploaded properly. And then I'd be like, ugh, like mute it, hurry up and mute it.
Like, I know. And like now, like I said, it's fine. Even right now, like obviously when you talk, you can hear yourself, but we hear ourselves through the mic in our ears too. And so like, we're just like, whatever.
It's the same thing with everything, right? Like you almost just have to dive head first into something and just get over, like, what is it? You have to go into the uncomfortable before you'll feel comfortable, like whatever that saying is. So I feel like that's exactly what podcasting has been. And same with like stepping out on social media. Like neither of us are really like big when it comes to stuff like that. So the fact that we've been like getting on live so we can really build
makeup, hair in a bun.
Yeah, like just hopping on so we can build our community, you know, for the podcast and everything. And it's just been like, oh, okay, that's no big deal now. Like, it's just... If you're thinking about doing anything, just dive headfirst in.
Yeah.
Like, don't be
afraid. And we used to be so like, not filtered, but like we would go on and like, you know, really look through our episode, edit out what needed to be. Oh, do we need to edit this out? Oh, do we need to? And now we literally just like chop the beginning until we say like, hey, thank you, welcome, whatever. And then we chop the end after we say bye and literally add the beginning in front and the back end, and that's it. Like we don't even bother and worry about like what we said and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, we found our groove. So it's kind of fun that we've like had so much growth since we've started. Yeah. So
yeah,
I feel like so, it's been fun.
Here we it's are. If you journey. For some reason don't follow us on TikTok or social media and you listen to us, which I find that like that could happen, but I just find it less likely. But if you don't follow us on social media, then follow us and come in, especially TikTok. We go live there and like chat with people and like have conversations, and it's fun. Like the other day we chatted about the deed and
relationships,
how often people do it,
and we got boys' opinions versus girls' opinions too. Mm-hmm. So that's really fun because we don't get to like get all of that, you know, via the podcast when you and I are chatting. Like all we can really rely on is like a news article. So it's kind of fun to have like real chat with real people and just like be in the raw of like, what are people saying? What are people doing? Like tell us. So definitely like tune in on our lives if you're wanting some like just kind of unscripted
and normal people, just normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tune in there and say that you came from the podcast so that we can like know you're listening to us, because people pop in all the time and we have our little regulars and friends on there. But let us know if for some reason you're coming from the podcast and you don't follow us, pop in a live and say hi and let us know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, comment, subscribe. Follow all the things. Do all the things.
Rate. Yeah. We had a couple ratings. People being so kind and rating us recently. So please do that. That helps us. But I appreciate you joining and listening this whole time. And we will catch you next week, because we're going to deep dive into a topic that we were supposed to do today. But we, per usual, just like...
Yeah. I mean, you guys probably don't want 2-hour-long episodes. So this is for your benefit that we cut ourselves off at this point.
Like, so next week, we will chat about all the things of millennial generation and Gen Z generation. I'm not going to go too deep into it because...
Yeah, but there is a divide and we're going to dive deep into it.
There's a divide and we're going to dive deep into it. And so we're looking forward to that conversation. Yeah. So we will chat next week. Bye.
Bye.